This meeting is being recorded.
And hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the new Adopted Standards Task Force. I'm Mike Berry. I'm with ONC and serve as a designated federal officer of the HITAC and this task force. On behalf of ONC, I would like to thank all the task force members for volunteering their time and expertise. I would also like to thank the members of the public for joining us as well. As a reminder, your feedback is always welcomed, which could be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:50 Eastern time this morning. So I'm going to begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Eichner.
Present. Good morning.
Hans Bundek, I think, is going to be joining us in a minute. I don't see him online. Raj Gavarti.
I'm here.
Jim Durgis.
Present.
John Kilbourne. Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Tim McDonald. Evan McGraw. Lisa Nicolau.
I'm here.
Elia Oliveira.
Good morning.
Basil Pechov.
Here.
Samantha Pitts.
Present. Good morning.
Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Anyway, that's all.
Okay.
Tom Sharam.
Good morning.
Okay.
Brandon Yu.
Good.
And Debbie Willis.
Here.
John Kilbourne is here too. Sorry, I missed my name.
Oh, great, John. Thank you so much. And appreciate everyone's being.
I may have been muted. This is Ram Sriram, and I'm Ed from NIST.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And now please join me in welcoming Steve for his opening remarks. Steve?
Good morning, and thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you to the task force members for being willing to commit your time, interest, and expertise in helping complete the important work of reviewing standards that have been included in regulation to determine if they need to be maintained or if they need to be retired. We've got some exciting work ahead of us in the next few weeks with the goal of completing our work at the end of August to submit a report to the full HITAC for their consideration and then submission to the Office of the National Coordinator. Hans and I have had several meetings with the wonderful team from ONC and the support team to help kind of create a framework and develop some documentation to help us through the process. But before we get into that, we'd like to spend just a couple of minutes with introductions around the table, providing your name, where you work, or what organizations you work with, and some of your areas of expertise. My name is Steve Eichner. I'm the Health Information Technology Lead for the Texas Department of State Health Services here in Austin. And I work on a variety of health information exchange and standards activities, providing resources to help providers connect and submit data to public health, provide opportunities for healthcare providers and other entities to retrieve data from the Department of State Health Services and work with public health agencies across the country and public health agency organizations, such as the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists and the Association of Territorial and Health Officials. So if Hans is now with us, Hans, we were just starting to do some introductions. If you'd like to introduce yourself, and then we will proceed in the same order as roll call.
All right. Good morning, and apologies for the delay. Got stuck somewhere that I could not get to the phone quickly enough. My name is Hans Buitendijk. I am with Oracle Cerner, Director of Interoperability Strategy, and I'm also currently a member of HITAC, and had the pleasure to work with Steve and others on this call today on prior work group activities and task force activities earlier this year, and looking forward to work with you on this charge. that we have, slightly different roles. I'm trying to get used to that, see what it's like. I've seen some very great folks, Stephen Lane and others that have provided some guidance on how to do this. So we'll see how that goes. But thank you very much for joining and looking forward to it.
Rajesh?
Yeah, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Raj from MCG Health. So I have been with MCG Health since 2003, primarily in the clinical decision support, where we provide evidence-based guidelines for the clinical decision support. I have been part of the HITECH committee since the last term, and I also actively co-lead the HL7 interoperability groups around the prior authorization use cases, and participating in several industry events related to interoperability initiatives. Thank you for allowing me to part of this conversation, and very much looking forward to it.
Well, thank you so much for being here, John Kilburn.
Hi, I'm John Kilburn. I'm with the VA, and I was also involved with the HITECH work to a degree recently as well. I've enjoyed working with everybody there. My background is primarily in terminology, SNOMED, RxNorm, UMLS, in my role at the National Library of Medicine prior to the VA. And I just want to say I work at the VA. It's a very large organization, very complicated, a lot of moving parts, a lot of parts that are moving that should probably be still, and parts that are still that would probably be good if they moved. And so I hope I can contribute here more than I have been able to in the past. And I'm looking forward to helping with what we're doing here. Thank you.
Thank you. Hung Liu.
Hi, Steve. We seem to have skipped somebody. Do you want to go back to them first?
Excuse me?
You seem to have skipped over Jim Jervis.
I'm sorry, Jim.
No, I know you were trying to save the best for last, so you were waiting. Just kidding. Jim Jurgis, I'm a physician. I'm the Chief Health Information Officer for HCA, and we're in about 22 states, 44 markets, and we deal with variety of data and culture across multiple different care environments. And I've been with HITECH, for one term thus far. Glad to be here and participate.
Thank you for that. And now, Hung Liu.
Yes, this is Hung Liu. I'm an associate professor of pathology at UT Southwestern Medical Center in North Texas, and I'm also the director of clinical pathology for Children's Health, a pediatric healthcare system. And my interest in informatics is actually in laboratory interoperability. I serve on the standard committee and also the informatics committee for the College of American Pathologists. And through that, I have been associated with the SHIELD initiative, which is promoting laboratory interoperability. And so I look forward to serving on this task force and hopefully contributing. Thank you.
Thank you. We're very happy to have you. Clem McDonald. Clem, do you want to introduce yourself?
He said there was something wrong with the sound a minute ago.
Okay. Let's go to Devin McGraw. Let's go to Lisa.
Hi there. My name is Lisa Nicolau. I am with the Michigan Health Information Network, and I am their Social Determinants of Health Program Director there. My areas of expertise are really in community information exchange and the development of those community information exchanges, baseline work, as well as how do we move data across sectors of care and that cross-sector data sharing capacity, where we're not just adding more technology where it is not beneficial, and making sure that we get to something that is an equitable solution. That is me, and I look forward to participating.
Thank you so much for being here. Aleel?
Hey, everyone. Good morning. My name is Eliel Oliveira. I am the Director of Research and Innovation at the Dell Medical School in Austin. And I have been in this space for about 20 years or so. I lead several projects, research projects here at the medical school in our health informatics core. Some of them funded by ONC itself. I have a long history of working with ONC and in standards development and extraction of data from EHRs, but most recently on patient engagement technologies and social determinants of health referral management systems. The other part of my work here is supporting our health information exchange here in Central Texas. And before the medical school, I was also the chief information officer for the Louisiana Public Health Institute. We also did manage our HIE in the greater New Orleans area and have a long history working in cancer research as well. It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much. Fossil?
Good morning. My name is Vasil Pechev. I'm with EPIC. I have been working in the standards area for quite a few years now. I have experience with implementing and creating specifications for HO7 version 2, FHIR, X12, CDA, and different types of IHE specifications. I'm looking forward to contribute to updating the list of supported standards for certification. Thank you.
Thank you. Samantha?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Samantha Pitts. I'm a general internist and faculty at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. At Hopkins, I work primarily in quality and safety, and have been involved in decision support and use of data for quality and safety promotion and evaluation, as well as in implementation around e-prescribing, specifically CancelRx and the Scripps standard at Hopkins.
Thank you. Alexis?
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Alexis Snyder. I am a patient and stakeholder engagement specialist located in the Boston area. I work with providers, health systems, researchers, patients, and other stakeholders on best practices for engaging patients and stakeholders in this work, with a focus on patient-centered outcomes research and health IT. I also advise on a number of advisory committees and councils that are health-related, including the HITECH. So happy to be here this morning with all of you.
Very happy to have you. Felipe?
Hi, good morning. Phil Sutherland. This is my first year here on HITECH, so excited to be participating in this work group. I'm Director of Healthcare Solutions at Yardi Systems. We're a long-term care EMR, so I lead up our interoperability team in that sector and work with a number of long-term care pharmacies integrating via FHIR and HL7 standards, as well as lab providers and medical device vendors, et cetera. So, happy to be part of the committee, and good morning, everyone.
Thank you. Ram?
Yeah, this is Ram Sriram. I am the chief of the Software and Systems Division at NIST, and I am also the program manager for the Health Information Technology. And we have been working in this space for a long time, and my people are actually have developed a number of test methods that have been used in the meaningful use satisfaction when the EHRs came around about almost a decade ago. Actually, EHRs are a much longer story, but in a meaningful use, test methods were developed by my people. And I am, my main actually research area is artificial intelligence, which I've been working in for about four decades or so. And now I'm kind of passionate about how you can apply AI in the healthcare field and what kinds of standards you require to implement that.
Wonderful, thank you. I don't believe Raimonde is with us this morning, but just in case. And Debbie Willis.
Hi, I'm the CEO of PatientLink, and we focus, I guess, mainly on patient engagement. A long history of taking data from a patient and sending it into an EHR, structured data using a variety of standards. But we now have a consumer FHIR application called MyLinks, and we've worked with several of the EHRs in helping to test their API when the APIs first came out, and we're now involved in helping them test their R4. We're connected to over 42,000 different locations in the United States, and really look at the impact of standards on patients and how data flows, whether or not it's consistent between the EHRs, and if the data is full. I'm also on the Vulcan steering committee, and Vulcan is focused on data for research.
Wonderful, thank you. And Mike, can you introduce yourself and then the rest of the ONC and support team?
Sure, I'm Mike Leary, I'm with ONC. I'm the designated federal officer of the HITAC, and look forward to meeting all of you, those of you I don't know yet, and we appreciate your time. I know that Josiane Charles is one of the program leads here at ONC. She's off today, but she'll be joining us next time we meet, which is in 2 weeks. And Liz Turry is another person from the Office of Technology that is supporting this task force. She's also off this week and will be joining us in a couple weeks. And Scott Bohan is another program lead that's supporting this task force. So they'll be our subject matter experts to support our co-chairs in this task force going forward. And so that's the core team, and look forward to getting started. Hans, Steve, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you for that. And I'm going to turn the floor over to Hans to talk about our charge.
All right, thank you. And let's go to the next slide there and introduce the charge that we have for this effort. And it stems back to the 21st Century Cures Act itself, which has a requirement that on a frequent basis, but starting every after 5 years of the act having been put in place, to begin to look at which of the standards that are being referenced should we continue to maintain, and which ones should we start to phase out? Standards implementation specifications. And then from that point, so we're now at the 5-year mark, this is the first time that this is occurring. And then from that point onward, every 3 years thereafter, that we review that to help ensure that the standards are still applicable, still relevant, that they progress where they need to and can take that path. So for anybody who wants to go back to the original language, you can go to the code that was is highlighted there. So that's what this is really about. And the question then, this being the first time, how are we going to go about that? What are we going to do? So in the next couple of slides and steps, we're going to be looking at that, identify what exactly we can look at, and what we can that we need to keep on the side outside of scope. So in that context, we are going to review the current set of ONC adapted standards. And so we're looking at ONC's adapted standards in the 21st Century Cures Act final rule. We're going to look at that and understand whether each one of those is a candidate to be maintained, whether it's a candidate to be phased out or possibly replaced. So we have a couple of different choices that we can look at. They are also can all be found in the ONC Standards Hub, but we'll have some spreadsheets that the team put together that can help focus in on the ones that that are in scope. What's not in scope is that we are going to be looking at new standards that are otherwise not referenced or not applicable to the use cases for which there are standards. So for example, if we are looking at the current FHIR or CCDA or time setting protocols, then we can look at those and say, hey, there is an opportunity to replace or move forward or phase it out altogether. But if there is another area that is not covered in the current rule that for which there might be standards, then at that point in time would be out of scope. An example of that might be, for example, laboratory orders or radiology orders that are currently not put in there. So that's why we're not going to be looking at that. So through the process, as we're getting used to it, we'll have a couple of times that we may have to pause and make sure that we stay on track there. That doesn't mean that there are other opportunities to provide feedback on that, but that's not the charge for this task force in these next couple of weeks. So that's what we are going to aim for. Then we're going to look in a moment to how we actually are going to go about that. Steve, from your perspective, anything that we want to further highlight here?
Yeah, I think you did a great job. The only thing I would kind of add is just information about some of the other opportunities for submitting additional standards or addressing topics that are not currently included in federal regulations, such as the Interoperability Standards Advisory, the United States Core Data for Interoperability, and the opportunity to provide public comments when ONC and other federal agencies release proposed regulations for comments. There are ongoing opportunities to submit information for both the US CDI and for the ISA. So, and information about those opportunities are available on the ONC's website. And when there are opportunities for commenting on regulation, those are also released by the respective federal agencies and available through the appropriate websites. So back to you, Hans.
Right, and I see a question from Vasil on the chat. Couple of notes on the chat and then addressing the question. If you want to respond and that everybody, not only the task force members can see your feedback, please use everyone. That's perfectly appropriate. That will be kept as part of the record as well. So, but the question that Vasil raises is about updated versions of current standards. So as an example, currently, FHIR US Core version 3.1.1 is named, and you'll see that later on in the list. If we believe that this is there is an opportunity, a time that we say there are more current versions out there, we certainly have the opportunity to address that, including considering what a possible version might be. That's where it starts to get into the edge of the scope as to how far do we go with then needing to arrive at a common agreement and recommendation. Let's say version 5.0.0, actually 5.1.0 that just came out. So do we have to get to that level of specificity? Not necessarily. We can have just an indication, say, hey, it's a good time to start to consider a more current version, and then we have some options there. But we don't have to totally be specific about that. But if it's, for example, something totally new, then that would be out of bounds. So that's where we're trying to find the balance. Vasil, does that help address your question?
Yes, thank you.
And we'll, as we go through it, we'll figure that out a little bit more as well. So let's go to the next slide there. And we're going to start with the methodology that we're going to be able to use. So there's two spreadsheets that you should have received. And we're going to step through each one of those to get a better understanding of how are we going to do this. If you can open up the reference material spreadsheet, that would be great. In that list, we're going to see the total list of standards that are in scope of our discussion. Anything that is not on the list for other purposes, we're going to keep out. But any of the lines that we're going to see, we're going to have the opportunity to determine, do we need to recommend either of those actions? So you will see, and we're going to go for the first line, we're going to go from left to right. We have our network time protocol version 4 that is being referenced. You will see in the next column the regulatory text citation. And as we start to scroll to the right a little bit, and I'm going to move my display of cameras to another screen, you can see it. We can see the publisher there. So that's what we have in scope. And as you scroll down, we have a list of about 60 odd, if I recall correctly, standards that are in play as a result of that. So, and they are a combination of code sets, they are syntax, they are data concepts like USCDI. So you will see the wide spectrum that we have, as well as on rows 55 and 56, we see two standards that are in particularly applicable to certification testing. So they're named as well. So it's not only about the standards that are used to certify systems, but it's also about the process according to which they're being certified as they are being named. So that's the list. We have all the links in here that if you would like to go into detail with these, and for some that you may not as familiar with. We also will have the opportunity as needed. If we are in a particular area where there is a need for more background, more information to help inform our recommendation, we have the opportunity to invite guest speakers to provide context, some considerations, and take that into account as we move forward. Before moving from this spreadsheet to the next one, that is the recommendation spreadsheet, any questions here that we have that we should address? And we can always come back, obviously, but that's spreadsheet number one. Let's jump to the other spreadsheet, and that's where we're going to concentrate on a little bit more with our work. Let's see, is the recommendation spreadsheet, that we have done that one available as well, where we can, where we are asking everybody to comment. Well, let's go to this one. This is fine to go there. So if we go to, let's jump back to the other one because there's a little bit more information that's visible there. If you would like to, we have grouped the, if you go to review cycle grouping, we have grouped into a number of categories like or standards that we believe are best discussed together and being considered. So we have made a selection there around care coordination. That's a very large group, so we split that in two. And then we have a number that are around public health reporting, clinical quality measures, privacy, security, patient data access, prescription, et cetera. So that's a little bit more a combination of a number of smaller groups that only had two or three in there.
And so, just to interject quickly there, there are lots of different ways of separating things out into different groupings. We recognize that there are crossover functions, in some cases, or multiple uses for the different standards, but we wanted to have some core way of grouping them so we could kind of track activity and put things in manageable groups.
Yep, and you can see then on the back to the first tab on that one. Is where you, when you scroll to the right a little bit, where we have columns G and H, that's where we categorize each of these standards accordingly. And then if you were to go, we don't need to do that right now, but you go to the individual tabs, group 1, 2, 3 is where they are then collected together so that you have these different types of organizations in mind. But it's that group 1, 2, 3, et cetera, that we're going to use to step through the sessions. An additional piece of information that is here is that you will see the approved SWAP versions. So while on the left-hand side, you see what is in the rule that is currently in place, you see that the SWAP versions are noted as well. They may be considerations to say is that, hey, that would be a good next version for regulation to go to. So it's in part to have a sense of that, and in part to really recognize is that we have the regulatory track, and then until the next regulation comes out, we have the ASVAB to allow us the standards version adoption process by which we can enable parties to certify to a more current version if they so chose. Clearly, in the next couple of months, we believe that there's going to be, if not weeks or days, we're not sure, that ASVAB will come out with another version. So if that happens while we are in flight with the conversations, we probably have a good opportunity to update that as well and have the latest versions available there. But we'll let everybody know when that that happens. So that's the next one. So that allows us to define scope of what we're going to look at. You will note that while the 2015 edition, certification edition rules are effectively still in effect. So there was a little bit of a discussion, should we look at that as well? But since the 21st Century Cures Act is the one that is in play, final rule is in play right now, towards the end of this year, we are really in a switchover mode. We are not looking at any standards or versions that are in the 2015 certification edition, since they are effectively already being addressed by either being replaced with more current versions, a new standard that was put in place. So that's why we're looking at the 21st Century Cures Act final rule only. Any questions up to this point or clarifications? And particularly from the team, as we review these up front from the ONC team, if you see anything that we missed and should highlight further as we're all getting up to speed with this. Okay. I see a question from John Kilbourne. Go ahead.
I just have a question. Do we have an explicit reasoning for why we would want to remove a standard? Or, and I'm not arguing against the idea, I'm just trying to grasp what's, and I'm not thinking, I don't think we should just keep accumulating standards, into perpetuity, but do we have why would we, what would be the criteria? And maybe it'll be one by one, we'll look at each standard and there isn't a general criteria, but I'm interested if there is a sense of what would qualify a standard for removal. And maybe this is too early to ask that, but in general, I'm asking about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think we're going to discover that if there is any standard in here for which one would say is that there is no need to have this standard anymore. It's hard to think in going through the list to perhaps see that. More likely that we say that there's a newer version out there, perhaps that there is an alternative standard that is better suited for what is attempted to be achieved, that could become a consideration. But to actually totally drop the standard, we'll have to discover that. And we're going to go line by line through these, and that's a great setup for the next topic in a moment of the spreadsheet that we're going to look at on how are we going to go through that. And if somebody has a good argument to make to say that this standard, that was a great idea, but for these reasons, there is no, we really should not perpetuate that, it's inbounds to bring that up. So it's more at this point in time that it's valid to bring up, not necessarily that we're going to find anything that would meet that, but we're going to discover that.
And this is Steve, just to add on to that concept, it's really looking at two aspects of retiring a standard. One, potentially retiring a standard because there is a better replacement available. And then the second condition about whether there's no need for a standard to continue to be in regulation. In some sense, it's a parallel to some of the things that have occurred in promoting interoperability, with some things being initially required and being measured in promoting interoperability. But then when they became a plateaued service, they were no longer included in certification criterion.
And that's a good example, Steve, because that's the example that that actually, interestingly, in the interoperability standards workgroup was suggested to go back in is a lab results interface, LRI, that was initially in a while ago, then it was taken out. And the recommendations in the interoperability standards work group are to consider that, hey, there might be good ideas to bring it back in. That would actually be an area where that's outside of the scope of this task force, because it's currently not in. But at the time, that might have been the argument used to say, we can retire this because we achieved our objectives. It's there, it's done, no need to worry about it anymore. It's adopted and nobody is going to change it. I think I saw a something in the chat come in. Vasily, you have a question about definition of replacement being available. Can you clarify what you're looking at that we need to clarify?
Well, it was stated just now that the one way to look at whether we can retire standard is if there is a different standard replacement being available. And I was wondering what the definition is. Would it be something that is already considered for rulemaking, something that is just in the list of standards, and suggest an existing standard to be retired, we specify what it will be replaced with. What are we looking at here?
I think there are two examples, possibly a third, but two examples of replacement that's valid that we can look at. Look at, it's going to be a hard one, but FHIR US Core. Currently, we are 3.1.1, and one replacement will be a more current version. That's a clear a replacement of the current reference standard. So it's not that we're looking at the standard overall and say, that's the level at which we operate. We're operating at the level of the version. And that entry is that if we change the version, that is a replacement. It is not a, I'm going to pick on another one as an example. Again, might not be true totally, but time protocol version 4, there is no need to go to a more current version. It worked perfectly fine. So that one would be maintained. At the same point in time, and that would be a little bit hard to find something, but that's it's fair game, is that if there was another standard outside of FHIR that would be very suitable to support data element level APIs, et cetera, and it would exist, it is valid to consider and bring up that this standard X, whatever that is, would be a better approach to than what we have for FHIR US Core, and suggest that that is the appropriate replacement and retire FHIR US Core. Now, You see me wrangling a little bit because that's hard to consider in that particular example, but I'm just using that to indicate is that it's valid to consider that as a replacement because we have the same capability that we're looking at, but in a using a different standard that is more with the times, better growth path, whatever the rationale might be.
And I think, and this is, I would add in a certain maturity level that right. it's not a conceptual, hey, we could draft some other standard that did all of these other things that were already served by the existing standard, but again, some level of maturity and adoption that says, yes, this standard is already, I'm not gonna quite say fully developed, but is well on its way in a position that could be adopted and put in practical application in a reasonable time period.
Yeah, we have not defined clearly and say these are the three or five or six criteria which it must meet to be a valid replacement. I think that's going to be part of our discovery in our discussions. And if along the way we need to look at that, that's okay. But at the same point in time, we can reference some of the earlier work of the high tech and related work, where to get into a regulation, what were some of the criteria? And that's where we can reference and point to as well. Well, it needs to be good enough and strong enough to get into regulation. So those criteria that were used at the time and still being referenced, we can certainly and should consider that to make sure that we are including something that can work and that can be adopted, scalable, et cetera, et cetera.
And one of the complicating factors in making a specific recommendation and or a specific timeline or looking at all of the costs or implications of shifting standards that we may not have the expertise, and it is really pretty far out of scope in terms of saying, okay, what does it take to implement standard B?
Right. Does that clarify if you feel what is fair game and where we need to tread carefully?
Yeah, I think it clarifies. Thank you.
And then the debate will get us to a consensus recommendation on whether we are comfortable with that, if we ever were to go that way or not. Okay, no, then let's take that jump to the recommendations spreadsheet and have a look at that, because that's where we want to do some prep work and get ready for our next meeting. So you'll see now at this point in time, the list of standards organized by groups. So column C, as you scroll down, you will see the variety of topics in sequence. So our intent is to begin focusing on group one, then two, and on to six at the end. And we are trying to group them around our upcoming meetings. Whether we will exactly be able to get one group in one meeting, we'll find out, but the aim is to focus around that. And what we're going to be looking at, and if you can click on the dropdown there, we're going to be asking everybody, there is a column for everybody on the task force, to make a choice of whether you believe and would suggest that the standard at hand should be maintained, no changes required in the foreseeable future, it's all going fine. Nothing else that is out there that you could recommend to jump to. Or are we going to looking at a phase out where we're looking at a replace update? Are we looking at a full retirement? Or I don't know, I'm not sure, I need more information to provide. Now, it's not only going to be these four choices, but this will help us then organize and pull things together on where to focus discussion. If we all have behind one of them maintain, that's probably going to be a very short discussion. If on the other hand, it is one of the phase outs and some argue it needs to be retired, other ones replace it, then we will have to spend more time on it and we can help organize our time together on that. If it's inconclusive, it might be a good indication that we need somebody to present a little bit more on it. Steve, I think I heard you or somebody else.
So Hans,
yeah.
One problem or question.
There is an echo, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah. Better?
It's a little bit better, but there's still an echo somewhere there.
Oh. Well, the question is, the version changes is within the coding systems. Are we dealing with that?
That's going to be an interesting topic. We talked about that. Those are probably more on the easier side because they have already a mechanism that you can adopt a more current version. So we probably are going to be able to have a more general discussion around code sets and how to manage that. And if we would suggest that retiring the current one needs to be adjusted in light of what we've learned. But that's a little bit, in some ways, it's actually an easier one because it's already, yes, there's a version in the regulation, but there is also a guidance that indicates a more current version can be used as well that you can certify as well. So it would a much more simpler replace a general statement of, yeah, we like that method, or no, we don't. And we think a better method of adopting a more current version is available. So I'd suggest we think of it in those terms to handle that.
Okay.
And then if you go to the right all the way, past the last person, you'll see that there are two columns here. One is the draft disposition and determination. So this is where we're going to be looking for that. If you indicate particularly anything other than maintain, but you can also put it in for maintain as well, put in your name, and then behind that, the rationale as to why. Summarize why it is that you think this can be retired. What is it that you would like to see as information because it's inconclusive? So that can help us also further determine how close are we with our initial ideas, where to focus more of the discussion on. And then column V will be used to synthesize from there in our discussion what our actual recommendations will be that we're going to finalize and present to the HITECH full committee. And then from there onwards to ONC. So U is our working space where we can make our comments in between meetings. And Steve will step us through the timeline in a moment. And final is where Steve and I are going to synthesize our discussion into what the wording should be in the end.
And I'm going to add the synthesized material is certainly subject for discussion and input.
Absolutely.
It's not unilateral or closed door, behind the door kind of discussion. We may do a little bit of work offline to prepare it for presentation and review, but decidedly want the task force input and consensus in any recommendation we might put forward.
And then if you jump to the instructions, what we just talked about is included in there. They're defined. What's maintained? There is no change that is necessary. Phase out, select this option if you recommend standard be phased out and replaced or updated. need not have a very specific timeline to it. It is more that is a good logical next step. John, you have your hand up.
Yes, when you showed the last screen, you showed a USCDI as one of the standards up for consideration. And that made me think, I guess we're, to verify, we mean like an all or nothing. USCDI is kind of a data structure almost. It's got a lot of different pieces in it that it says, you know, use this for this, use this for that. We want to use this, we want to use that. When we're talking about USCDI, do you mean like we're saying either keep it as a whole, or are you, or would we be suggesting changes, for instance, to the USCDI collection of standards. In other words, USCDI is a collection of standards as opposed to other standards or just a single standard. And do we treat the collection differently than we would treat, you know, an individual standard? I hope I'm making sense with my question.
That's a great question. And USCDI is a good example to clarify that. Here, the objective would not be to suggest specific changes to USCDI that would result in as part of USCDI version 4, given that 3 is just about to come out and the comments and the review period has lapsed. So it's not meant to do that. If you want to, if you do have recommendations on how to better structure USCDI, what data might be missing, or what vocabulary standards are referenced directly in there that that may need some work, whatever that might be, there is the USCDI on-deck capability where that feedback can be provided. So that's not the scope and the purpose of this task force. So if anybody brings that up, we're going to gently remind, take that path. So here it's really more about let's assume that we are right now where we are. USCDI version 1 is in regulation. USCDI version 2 is not. USCDI version 3 is about to come out. So a recommendation, if we were to make the recommendation today, could be, I'm not saying that's the right one, but just as an example, could be is that, well, we know that USCDI version 3 is about to come out. That will be a better next option version than USCDI version 1. Our recommendation is that in from a regulatory perspective, start to consider version 3 because it's more current, more complete, more comprehensive, et cetera, consider that one. An alternative might be is that somebody says and has a great argument for that, no matter what USCDI version 3 is going to be, USCDI version 2, that's settled, that's out there, that's in play, that will be the right one. There's still a little bit more work to be done. That's not the right thing to go to. We don't want to go too deep into that because time changes. We are not fixed in time. So I think we have to be considerate about that things can happen between now and whenever ONC might take action and actually move forward with a update or a change. But that's the direction in which it is. So it's USCDI as a whole, not the individual pieces that are in it. That's what we have to look at. Perhaps we can make some comments, but we have to be careful about that we're not going into on-deck process.
And the same thing would apply for any other standard that we're looking at. It's not within the task force's charge or scope to looking at making edits within a standard, either, you know, saying, oh, well, the standard would be great if it included this field additionally, or why is that field included in that particular standard. It's really looking at the standard as its entirety.
Right, and that brings us to a Genesis question, I think, as well. UCDI points to vocabulary, clearly, but then supporting standards, any one of the in the list here, some more than others, would reference vocabulary as well on particular attributes in CCDA or other standards that are in play. They will reference very specific bindings to value sets and in there. Again, Steve's comment applies there as well. We're looking at the totality of that standard and is it appropriate? We still have Clem's question to address as well, that various code sets, they are being updated on every 6 months, 1 year basis continuously. There is already a process in which we can adopt the most current one. So that's probably that general part is in the context of that advancement. ASVAB may have a more current version of FireUS Core in there. It may have other ones in there over time. It is then about that standard with its bindings to the vocabulary that were relevant in that standard that we are referencing. We're not trying to provide feedback on the details inside the standard. It's either good enough in total or it's not good enough because for some reason, and that's why we rather not do it. Does that help clarify, Janice? Any other aspect that you were thinking of that needs to be addressed? Janice, if you're talking, you are on mute. Okay. Any other questions on how we want to go about organizing our thoughts around that? So next step, Steve is going to address on the timeline, but this will be the format in which we're going to start to collect data. As Steve indicated, it's not just enter the columns. Steve and I are going to go in the back room and come up with a suggested wording. That's going to be done during the sessions, give or take some prep to streamline the discussion. But other than that, that's what we're going to talk through effectively line by line, some faster than others. A couple of them we might be able to do in groups because it applies to everything. And that we then work our way to the end.
So do you want to talk for a moment about what we're about when and how we're going to identify subjects that we need to get some additional information about based on task forces, knowledge, and things that they're expressing? We need more information about.
Yeah, I think that if we look at, if you can open up in Debbie's column, the drop down. So if, and this is not specific to Debbie, anybody, if somebody marks it as inconclusive, we need more information, and you clarify then in column U a little bit more what it is that you're looking for, that can help inform the team with ONC, where should we invite some parties to further provide clarification on that or insight. So for example, we might reach out to some of the SDOs that are responsible for these standards and provide insight into where are you at, where you're going, is it sufficiently different or not. We can look at that. Or if there is a totally different alternative, this standard X out there, that might help provide some insight there. So then it's a phase out, replace. You have a suggestion about another standard. That's probably a good candidate to bring somebody else into to help compare contrast for everybody on the task force, why that would be a good idea.
And that kind of helps inform the timeline that we're going to the next slide, I believe, back in the presentation deck. Which we're looking at, we've scheduled meetings pretty much for every week between now and the end of August, looking at Tuesday mornings, 10:30 Eastern time. We are skipping a meeting next week because of the 4th of July holiday, but are hoping that task force members will take the opportunity to review the material that's been distributed and make at least an initial set of recommendations, or at a minimum, identify the topics on which you need more information. And please complete that by a week from Friday. So Friday the 2nd. The following Friday. So that we've got an opportunity to review that and begin to recruit speakers to fill in information that we need. We're also looking at moving the meeting on August 30th to August 31st to accommodate some absences or some projected absences. Hans and I will be providing an update on the task force's progress at the August 17th HITAC meeting. And then our final recommendations will be presented to the HITAC on September 14th. So that's kind of an overview of the timeline. At each public meeting, there will be an opportunity for public comment, usually the last 10 minutes or so of the meeting. Hans and I encourage all task force members to be active participants in discussion, either using voice technologies or looking at using chat. And we're also available offline for additional questions through email or phone calls as needed.
Steve, I think we have Samantha and Jim. I have a question in chat about the deliverable for next Friday, to clarify that.
Sure, the deliverable for next Friday is to take the link for the worksheets and supply initial information at a minimum about fields that you, or about standards that you need more information about, so that we can begin to identify speakers to help provide that information. If you can complete at least a portion of recommendations about whether a standard should be maintained or retired, that would be great. Again, focus, I guess, initially on group one, since we've got a initial plan to go in group order. Do you have anything to add on that?
No, and particularly the last point of emphasis is that we may not all get through the 55 lines all at once, so that group sequence is important, that if you can at least get through the first 2-3 groups, that will be very helpful, and then catch up along the way so that we can plan those meetings well in advance with speakers.
You know, we will be sending a reminder out after the 4th of July to all participants, regardless of whether you've completed the or filled out the forms in the material or not, just as a courtesy, so that we do have good information when we meet in 2 weeks. Hans, anything else to add?
Nothing to add other than the question. Any questions on this? Does that clarify? Any other comments on the approach? Any clarifications, suggestions?
Concerns?
Concerns? Anything that you would like to raise before we start to dive in deep with everybody getting ready for the next meeting?
Well, we will open the floor for public comment and then have another opportunity to provide any feedback based on those comments.
Hey, it's Jim. Let me raise my hand.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, just a quick question. Since this is an every 5-year thing, and most of us have 3 years and then maybe 6 total terms on HITAC, did anybody on this call participate 5 years ago when this drill was done, or is this the first time under the HITAC statute that this exercise has been done? And the reason I ask is there lessons learned about, you know, what worked and what didn't 5 years ago?
With the we are the ones. We're going to learn first. It's the first time it's happening. And after this time, it is every three years. So that's when the cadence starts, every 3 years. But yes, we are exploring this path for the first time. We can help set how it could be done for the next time around. Well,
If we're looking for the end of August to be done, it seems like a kind of a daunting task. So we kind of have to stay high level. Is that correct? Like, because there's details under each of these that we could get wrapped around the axle. So is it? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Hans.
No. That's you're totally right on. That we have the potential of getting wrapped around the axle, open all kinds of doors that probably we should not. And that's what we need to learn. So we hope to be as efficient as possible by having already a couple of those general guidelines fairly clear and crisp that, like the example for USCDI, it's on deck where we need to get in that discussion, not here. So we're trying to limit it to USCDI version 3, 4, 2, whatever. At that level is where we're trying to do it. The other part is that we're also trying to avoid getting too precise about what this next version is. If it's very clear, very quickly, it's version 5, whatever. There was no implied reference to a particular standard there. But if that's the one, okay, we can do that. But if it starts to require a lot of discussion, other than that, we need to go to a more current version, then having a recommendation of we need to go to a more current version, but by the time that you're going to write regulation, the landscape has changed. So we really are indicating to you, explore the most current version at that point in time and not state what the version is, other than the most current version or some criteria around it. That hopefully will help us not to get any deeper than we need to, but it's going to be the first time. So we'll have to learn and figure out how long it takes, how deep we're going to go, and how useful is then the end result for ONC to consider that in the next round. So a little bit of a vague answer, but we have to learn this because we're the first.
So this is Debbie Willis. I have a question / statement. I agree that this is a pretty daunting task. A lot of things we need to cover very quickly. I feel that a lot of these questions are going to be something I really know nothing about. I'm really focused on the impact of standards on patients. That I feel like that's more of my expertise. So in all the other areas, I'm going to really rely on people who are experts in those areas. So I won't trust my opinion because I don't know enough about it. So how do we deal with that when there's a line item that we feel that's just not anything that we really understand or feel that we could contribute as an expert?
Fair and challenging point. And I think it's in part using the inconclusive that can help us guide how much do we want to provide as more introductory to these standards to make sure that everybody has opportunity to provide perspective are we in an area where somebody might not be as well versed to make sure is that those who are, that they're making crisp and clear arguments and criteria that can help raise the comfort level for those that are less versed in it, to say is that yes, they have thoroughly thought about it and we are good with the reasoning without us having to go become an expert in that space. So I think it's going to be a little bit of that that balance between those two. But certainly don't hesitate to indicate is that we would like to understand more about what this is so that we can have a better informed statement around it. Some of it you will find if you go to the different standards links that is done in the introductory paragraph. Some of them are very good at that. And other ones I will readily admit and share the same experience that it's a bit obtuse as to what it's about. But help us identify where that is so that we can figure out who to pull in and how to best get sufficient clarification for that.
So my understanding is our homework, though, is to start working on the spreadsheets to indicate if we feel the standards should be kept, or is that what we're supposed to do? Because
correct.
Okay, so, and the focus on number one, or are we trying to go through the whole thing if we can?
If you can, go all the way. We need to end up there.
Okay.
But from a next 2 weeks, looking at groups one and two would be great. That they have group one, if I have it correct in the sequence, is the code sets around care coordination. And group two are the other standards around care coordination that use that vocabulary. That will be a good start to have, because then we can gauge based on that how fast and how quick we are going to go. So at least those two I would suggest. The other ones shortly thereafter, based on that, and not all at once necessarily, but in for you, a good cadence to get them out.
And this is Steve. Oh. I think there's not an urgency, but if you can identify those areas about which you need more information early on, that would be great, because the bigger window we have to identify where there are gaps, the more time we'll have to bring in appropriate experts. Secondarily, it's not simply a vote once and you're complete. You're certainly entitled as a task force member to update your recommendation and your components as we go through the process, as we gain more information. That being said, I think that there's an interest in not revising comments much more than a week after a particular subject has been discussed in meeting, or as we've started to develop or finalize a recommendation around that particular standard.
So because we have so many standards to look at in a short period of time, would it make sense to add one more choice instead of saying need more information? I would rather have one that says I would rely on the opinions of the experts in this area instead of, you know, clicking need more information for so many items. Because I don't think we would have enough time to bring people in. I believe probably a lot of us have very specific areas that we feel comfortable with. What's your thought on that? If you come up with, you know, 50 of those elements saying we need more information, I don't know that you could accommodate that. Out of scope or of expertise is what is recommended, because I really feel that that's, if I'm really interested, I would want more information, but if I feel like, this is really not anywhere in the scope of my understanding, I would rather do the out of scope or beyond my expertise.
I think that's a very reasonable suggestion. And looking at the ONC team, is that something that we can put in before we send out the spreadsheets after the meeting?
We can, Hans. Another option could be just to leave it blank until after the discussion, because, you know, after like next meeting where you talk about group one, if, you know, maybe people can make an informed decision after that discussion and then fill it out then. Is that an option that could work as well? Otherwise, you know, another choice we could add after, you know, like say they had a discussion and people still don't have an informed decision, we could put like an abstain, like basically you're abstaining from picking one or another.
Debbie, what's your thought?
I think that would work for me, but I don't know for you if I just left it blank, if you know that I've looked at it, but I don't feel I know enough information, or if you would, you know, think I just didn't even look at it. So I don't know. It's up to you what you feel you need from us. Do you want us to say, yeah, I looked at it, but, you know, I don't, it's not in scope for me.
I think the inclusion of a blank for basically haven't acted as yet, and then an abstention saying I can't act are probably both good choices.
Yeah, and that will mean is that we add the choice. You can still leave it blank because that indicates I'm still working on it. And an abstain or I defer. Abstain, I think, encompasses the variety of ways why you say, I'm okay with whatever the group is going to come up with. So I think it might be a combination of the two. We have the blank, still working on it, and abstain to indicate is that I'm okay with the where the group goes.
And this is Steve. I think there's probably in companionship with that, the need for a third comment column about rationale rather than positioning on that particular standard, so that we've got a space that we can use. It's not really looking at building the recommendation, but looking at building information about what additional information we need to provide. Because if we don't add a second column, we end up with only one column that's got both, hey, what information do I need and what my recommendation is.
So you would suggest between columns U and V to include one, or maybe between T and U to indicate this is the information I'm looking for to help my decision. And if I'm already more firm, then column U, or based on whatever I've learned, I'm now going to put in, and this is my rationale for my choice.
Yes, because having both in the same column will be difficult to untangle.
Right.
Mike, is that possible?
Mike, does that work?
Yeah, we can add whatever you feel is necessary.
Yep. Let's add that column. And then we have add and abstain and a clarification on the blank, what that means, that it's still work in progress. And the abstain should not be taken as the single and only final vote, if you will. One is totally allowed that as the discussion unfolds, new information becomes available to change your perspective for an input. So these are until we get to column V, where we conclude as we go through the meeting. Everything is allowed to be fluid. It's only helping us get through the process and get to column V to fill it out. Any other questions looking at the clock? We are about to have to go to public comment. Any other comments?
Just a quick question and comment. This is John Kilbourne. A lot of these code sets seem to be fall under the SVAP scheme. The new version will come out pretty much as good as the old version, but better. Like, is there a sort of like a, you know, control alt delete M, you know, like a shorthand way of saying that, because or not. It seems like the majority of what I'm looking at will be, yes, let's just accept it, but the latest version of the vocabulary. Or should we all just sort of figure out our own way of saying that? Maybe that's just as easy.
I think for now, that's probably just as easy.
Okay.
To do that. Part of it, SFAPs pick up, but they are voluntary, not part of regulations, but actually code sets have a very specific agreed to adoption scheme beyond what's listed in regulations. So, I think that's going to be fairly straightforward rather than adding another column with another dropdown for that specific purpose.
Thanks.
Right. Any other questions and comments before we go to public comment? Okay. And any other questions along the way, as Steve indicates, please reach out for clarifications and otherwise. But then we're going to open up for public comments. For those on the line, if you can raise your hand, and along the way, and we should have clarified that as well, you could participate in the chat as well.
Now,
and Mike, you have probably better instructions than I do.
Yeah, I'll open us up for public comments. So if you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So we'll pause for a moment just to see if anyone raises their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Hans and Steve, so I'll turn it back to you, but we'll continue to monitor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Steve, anything from your perspective that we have that we need to address, or unless we have additional comments, we have a slightly earlier close.
Yeah, we have one additional question that's been put in the chat box looking about all the current, all the more current editions listed in the spreadsheet, and a comment saying the sheet contains all of the versions from SFAP. So they want to bring that to everyone's attention.
And if you want to find out for a standard, the most current version that's available, that is not in regulation because it's a couple of years old, it's not in ASVAB because they do not necessarily address everything. There are ways to find out, but let's us follow up to see whether there's a quick way in which we can add some of that information so not everybody needs to hunt and peck through where to find them. For a couple of them, it's going to be fairly straightforward to find them. Others, you need to know where it is. And the ISA has a lot of it, but not necessarily the most current either, depending on where they are in their update cycle. So the most current version published is not always going to be straightforward. We'll look at, we'll discuss on how we can support that.
And the other component there is looking at a version change is a different kind of update or more current standard than replacing a standard with something else, so that, that there may be different implications in either case about what comes next. Looking at replacing version 4 with version 5 is a change, but it's a different kind of change than looking at replacing a standard with a different standard that has a different source, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and the bar for the recommendation criteria, et cetera, will be likely in the discussion a little bit higher because that's typically the biggest switch. So we'll check whether we can get the latest versions fairly easily. That information as well. And then I guess that it's on to the next step, which is closing the meeting. And Steve, that means I guess we are looking at 2 weeks from now, reconvene.
Yes, sir. And again, I do want to thank everyone for their time and attention today and their commitment to the task force's activities.
And in the meantime, have a great July 4th weekend. That will be in between. And we'll talk again in 2 weeks. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, everybody.